Welcome to the session on alcohol and injuries in the Americas. Unfortunately, our discussant, Maristela Montero, who is a senior advisor with the Alcohol and Substance Abuse Division at the Pan American Health Organization, could not be here today, but that will give us more time for open discussion. Today you are going to be hearing data on alcohol and injury from emergency rooms in 10 countries. And these data come from three large collaborative emergency room studies. One is the Emergency Room Collaborative Alcohol Analysis Project. The other is the World Health Organization multi-site study on alcohol and injury. And the third is the Pan American Health Organization collaborative study on alcohol and injury. The PAHO study is a more recent, and they collected data in the Dominican Republic, Guyana, Panama, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. The other five countries that will be reported on today from the IRCAP and WHO studies are ER studies in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. And the papers or the presentations that you're going to be hearing today are all actually going to be represented in chapters in a book which the Pan American Health Organization is publishing called Prevention of Alcohol-Related Injuries in the Americas from Evidence to Policy Action. So that should be out, we hope, sometime next year. So our first presenter is Yu Yi, who is a biostatistician at the Alcohol Research Group, and he is going to be presenting on prevalence of alcohol-related injury in the Americas, variation by cause and countries.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for coming. My talk today is the alcohol-related injury in America. Focus will be the variations by countries and by cause of injuries. I have no financial interest to disclose. First, some background of the alcohol-related injury. And traditionally, when people start to look at the role alcohol play in the injury mobility and mortality, people look at the alcohol involvement. And this alcohol involvement, for a traffic accident, victims, how much do they drink, what's their BAC levels, and this alcohol involvement was used as a crude measure of the burden of injury attributed to drinking. So that's why that we need the data of the road traffic accident or the emergency room data as a case series to collect this alcohol involvement. And normally, this alcohol involvement is measured by the blood alcohol level or the BAC. And people can use that legal threshold like 0.08 or something like more kind of liberal like 0.01 as the positive BAC to indicate the alcohol involvement or alcohol related. But also for the mobility data, for the injured patient data, we can use the surveys to ask the patients if they drink alcohol before the injury. So that is the self-report can also be used as the measures of the alcohol involvement. And over the years, we have done a lot of studies in the emergency room looking at the prevalence rate of alcohol-related injuries across emergency rooms, across countries, and we observed a huge variations in this prevalence rate. And these variations was shown to be predicted by the emergency rooms, like if they are trauma center or not, and if what is the emergency rooms, kind of is the HMO of the public emergency room. Or it can also be explained by the country, we call it country contextual factors, like the how the drinking culture of a countries are. And also, recently we found that alcohol control policy play a quite significant role in explaining the alcohol-related injury across the emergency room studies. But the earlier studies are mostly focused on all injury combined, and not very much looking at the injuries by cause. So these studies will focus on the specific cause of injury. And looking at the 10 American countries, as Cheryl just introduced, these 10 country emergency rooms really cover basically all the major regions of the Americas. So we have the US and Canada at the north, has the major Latin American countries, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, and also five Central American and Caribbean region countries like Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Guyana, Nicaragua, and Panama. And you can see in this slide, all these emergency room studies span almost 25 years. And that is kind of a little bit of the downside of studies, but we are trying to collect the contextual factors for the year when the data is collected. For example, for the control policies, although the emergency room data we use for California is collected in the 80s, so we do use that the BAC levels at that year. Remember that there was some big policy change over the years in the U.S. So we look at the four injury causes, the traffic accident, the violence, the fall, and other injuries. And we look two measure of alcohol-related injury. One is positive BAC, which is at least 0.01%, and the other is the self-report of any alcohol consumption before injury. We use these two measures primarily for the robustness of the findings, and these two measures are quite consistently concordant in terms of when a person have a positive BAC, a vast majority, I would say 90% of them, will be self-report of self-report drinking of drinking, but not quite reversely is when they have a self-report, they might not have a positive BAC given the lags between the accident and ERI. All the data here is we use the injury patients coming to emergency room within 6 hours. That kind of sampling selection criteria does increase the validity of the BAC measurement a lot, but still the BAC is if you drink just one drink and you come to emergency room like 6 hours after injuries, you might come up as negative. Overall, I think it's 20% of any drinking across the for the total sample for the self-report of any drinking. And the positive BAC, I think, is about 14%. So we do have a lower prevalence of the BAC compared with the self-report. Simple analysis will be on the total injury sample and also will be on the drinkers only, which is those who consume any alcohol in the last 12 months. The reason we use the drinkers as well is because conceptually that you might argue that the risk of alcohol-related injury is only relevant to drinkers, not to the abstainers. And later on, you will find that most of the contextual factors as the main predictors is works better for the drinkers, and we do have an explanation for that. The three major social contextual variables we look in these studies is the first is the country income. We used the gross domestic products in 2008 and divided by three groups like the high, medium, low income. And we used the drinking culture. The second one is the drinking culture, which is an index called detrimental drinking pattern, and this is a very important index developed by the WHO to measure for a country for a given volume of per capita consumption how much detrimentally they consume. And basically, the index value from 1 to 4, the higher the value, the higher you might think of more heavy episodic drinking. So at the high end, are countries like Russia, Mexico, and at the low end, at 1, are countries like France and Italy, and where the countries like the U.S. and I think some of the European countries are in the middle. So the third measure is the alcohol control policies. And the alcohol policy is very complicated for our purpose. We collected basically two domains. One is the alcohol policy related to driving. We use 4 items. One is legal BAC, one is random breath test, and the sections against DUI and the open container law. And the second domain we use is the policies related to access or availability. That's including the measures like legal drinking age, the off-premise sales restrictions, the bar opening hours, and sections serving minors. We basically take the information collected for the key informant from the country collaborators and the codes them, come up with some concrete measures. So this table shows the 10 countries, the sample size, and the contextual factors. As you see, the income levels, we have the US and Canada at high income, and the Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Panama at the medium income, and the 4 Pajo countries at the low income. For the detrimental drinking patterns, they range from 2 to 4. There's no country in the Americas have the lowest detrimental patterns as 1 as those drinking in France and Italy. But you can see that the high end are countries like Mexico, Guatemala, and Nicaragua, where the low end are the US, Canada, and the Dominican Republic, and also Argentina. For the alcohol policy, for the driving and access, we basically code the countries from 1 to 3. With the higher the value, the more restrictive the alcohol policy controls. And then we sum these two measures, have a composite combined measures. We do 2 type of analysis. One is descriptively. We divided the countries into 3 groups for each of the contextual factors and look at their, difference in the prevalence rate of alcohol-related injury. And the second, we run the meta regressions. Basically, it's a random effect model predicting the country-level alcohol-related injury by the country contextual factors. So this figure shows the prevalence of the positive BAC among total injury patients by country income. So we have the high income, medium income, and low income. For the 5 injury type, basically we have the traffic. So you can see traffic, violence, fall, and others. The last one bar is the all injury combined. There's not much pattern here we can see from the, between the income and the positive BAC prevalence. Maybe somewhere for the traffic, like the low income, maybe have the little bit higher positive BAC compared with high income, but might not be significant. And this one is the same positive BAC for the country income, but among drinkers only. Not much pattern here going on as well. And then we look at the meta regressions, show the relationship. It does see, for example, for the traffic accidents, the higher income is related to a lower positive BAC prevalence, but it's not significant. So basically, it's nothing significant here, showing the income is not significant associated with the positive BAC prevalence. Second, we look at the detrimental drinking pattern, and we do see that here for the higher detrimental drinking pattern, looks like there was a higher positive BAC for the traffic accident, and that the higher detrimental drinking pattern may be related with the variance, positive BAC among variance for the DDP at 4. And we do see that there is this kind of relationship for the all injury combined. So this is for the total sample. Look at the drinker sample only. This relationship we observed actually is stronger. We do see this dose-response relationship here for the traffic accident, for the old injury combined, and maybe somehow for the variance and other injuries. Look at the meta regressions. We see for the total sample there is significant association between DDP with the traffic accident and all injury combined. And this relationship is stronger when we look at the drinkers only, and also for the other injuries and marginally for the variance. So it does see that show that DDP is positively related with the positive BAC prevalence among particular among drinker for the traffic accident, mainly for the traffic accident, but maybe for other injury as well. Last, we look at the policies, and we do see that for the more restrictive the policies, the lower positive prevalence of positive BAC for the traffic accident and for the variance and also for the all injury combined here. This is for the total sample. Look at the drinker samples, this relationship is even stronger. We see that for the traffic accident, for the variance, it's kind of an old injury type. You can see the more restrictive the policy, the lower the prevalence of positive BAC. So coming to the meta regression, we see that the only significant relationship for the total sample is all injury combined, although the direction is also for the variance, but all negative. But we do see significant relationship if we focus on the drinkers among all injury types. So this is a positive BAC. Now we also look at the self-report. I'm just present is use the meta regressions, and we see that for the incomes there's not much relationship except for the variance among total injuries. Here maybe the higher income related with higher positive self-report, but we didn't see this relationship for the positive BAC. For the detrimental drinking pattern, the significant effect was found among drinkers only, for the traffic accident and the total injuries. We observed this relationship earlier for the positive BAC. Now we found the same for the self-report, but not much for others, not significant for others. And for the policies, we do see this negative relationship, that the more restrictive the policy, the lower positive BAC, positive self-report, but only significant is for the injury or injury combined. So sum this up, looks like the self-report, when we use the self-report as the alcohol-related injury measures, the relationship with the contextual factors, although it's the similar direction, similar, but it's less magnitude, it's less significant compared with positive BAC. So sum this up, ER-based alcohol-related injury across 10 countries in America varies according to the detrimental drinking pattern, and it's particularly among drinkers. And particularly it's for the alcohol-related traffic accident, although it might relate to other cause of injury as well, like the violence and other injuries. And we see that the positive BAC have a stronger effect compared with the self-report. Similarly, the alcohol control policies have a negative effect. I would say, you know, positive and negative based on what you say, but the more restrictive policies, the lower alcohol-related injury observed. Again, this relationship was found particular for the BAC and less for the self-report, and particular for the amount of drinkers, and compared with the total samples. And these findings actually are consistent with our earlier analysis used the total with all the countries across the world. Is what we found is when we have a more restricted definition of the alcohol-related injury, the policy effect is stronger. That, for example, if when we use the BAC at 0.08 levels, we found that policy have a strong effect and predict the more restricted country with more restricted policies, they have a lower legal BAC in terms of 0.08. And you know, one interpretation of this is you might think about the positive BAC when people because of the time lag between the accident and the ER arrivals, people have positive BACs, maybe have, you know, a higher volume, higher consumptions, and that, you know, is shown up that related with the policy measures more than the self-report of any drinking when people can consume only one drink. Last, some strengths and limitations of these studies. We have all the study basically cover all the regions in the Americas and the drinking cultures, and the methodological we use similar method with comparable measures. But there are some limitations. We only look at associations, or there's no causations. Particularly, we want to focus on the policy things, and the policy is very complicated in terms of how you code them and how you kind of combine them. And one thing I want to mention is we use the policy is the combined policy of both the traffic and the access availability. But when we look at the specific, for example, what we expect at first is the traffic traffic-related policy may be related with the traffic accident injuries, but we didn't find that relationship, or that relationship is not significant. That kind of suggests that the policy is work maybe as a combined, as a composite measure, rather than as a single measure. Thank you.
Perfect timing.